Let's turn for our scripture reading to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This morning, Ross will continue where we left off 2 weeks ago. In 1 Corinthians 10, we looked at verses 1 through 12. We learned from that even though everybody received the blessings, verses 1 through 4, almost everybody was judged, verse 5. But the purpose of that is not to give us a dismal report, you know, about our future, but to say that we don't need to be judged like that. We don't need to go that way. And that's the promise we get to in verse 13, that God is faithful. So once again, we fix ourselves on the character of God. Let's read those first 13 verses. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So you've got the universal blessing there on the children of Israel. They all had the blessings. How did they respond? Verse 5. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. That's not a good report. But there's hope. Verse 6. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What a promise God has given us.
Well, today we have the opportunity to get back into the passage that we were in 2 weeks ago, one that we're only going to be in one verse today, verse 13. And I think for many of us, it's a familiar verse. You know, it's one at maybe certain times in our Christian journey, we've either been shown by someone else who's trying to encourage us, or we've memorized so we could pull it out at the needed time or whatever. But I think that for many of us, it's not going to be a new concept. But what I would like for us just to stop now and pray that even as we look at what may be a familiar passage, a familiar verse, that God will really meet us with his truth, that he will help us to see it right where we live. That's what we need. I mean, we don't just need to come in here and have a Bible lesson. You know, we need for God to take the truth of this verse and let it make sense in the context of where we live. Let's ask him to do that. God, we are rich to have your word, to have you give us part of your heart on a written page so that we can see what you're like, what's important to you, and what you've committed yourself to. And we want to know about you because we love you, because we treasure you. And so I just pray, God, that as we open your word together this morning, that you will meet with us. You know our weakness. You know our weakness even in trying to concentrate and listen. God, you know the weakness of my own heart, and mind today. We just give all of that to you, God, and say, here we are, this is who we are, and we are surrendering ourselves to you. Our hands are open. We give you our hearts, and we want your truth to penetrate our hearts today. Thank you, God, that you want to do that. Thank you. We expect it. We look forward to it. Give us the grace to embrace it. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. As I've been meditating on this passage for a couple of weeks, there's one thing that struck me. Even thinking about all of us coming together and all of the wide variety of things that have happened in the past week in our lives. I mean, the diversity of our lives is bigger than this room. It's as big as the whole community. And so we come as many, many different people from many, many different situations of the past week. We come together this morning, and I think I'm just struck by the fact that there's one thing that we all share in common. I mean, there's one thing that's the same for all of us, and that is, since last Sunday, I mean, within the last 7 days, every one of us has faced temptation. Every one of us. You know, the ground is very level when it comes to that secret place of our hearts where we battle temptation. Professional achievement, race, educational background, physical appearance, you know, none of those things can make you immune to that draw at times in your heart to disobey God. We are all faced with temptation. No matter who we are, we all battle temptation. Some of you this week, have had temptation hit you right in the area of honesty. You know? Temptation has paved the way in your mind to see that deceit or dishonesty is better in your situation. So you've rationalized and you've fallen. You lied. Some of you have been tempted to this past week to talk negatively about others. You know, you've thought to yourself, well, what I'm saying is true, even though you've never spoken to that person about it. And so you've participated in, you've actually dismantled someone else's reputation and credibility. You've fallen. Some of you have been attacked this week by the fear of man. You know, you've been worried about what somebody's thinking about you. And so you have laughed at things or even contributed to conversations that you know are dishonoring to God, that make a mockery of sin. But temptation has whispered that fear of man into your ear and you've fallen. And some of you have been drawn in your own mind toward the place of fantasy. And you've looked at things right on your own computer screen that have compromised your purity and your most important relationships. You've fallen. I mean, this is what I'm talking about when I say we all face temptation. It is a part of daily life. And you know what? Temptation is not anything new. It's been around for a long, long time. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Temptation does. Temptation is a constant reminder for me and for you of what went wrong in this world. God did not design things this way. God made a perfect world. He made a man and a woman who were not tarnished by sin. Do you know that Adam never had an impure thought? Adam, never. Adam never lashed out in anger. Never. Eve never operated out of fear. Never. She was never impatient or discouraged. Never. They were just walking around in this perfectly genuine and intimate relationship with God and with each other. until temptation. That was Satan's tool. He came along and he said, I've got something to offer you. Temptation said, I've got more to offer you than what God's offering to you. You know, what Satan offered Adam and Eve wasn't even real. He couldn't even deliver what he was promising to them. But that was the point of the temptation. And all of a sudden, Adam and Eve's hearts became blanketed by doubt. And the next thing you know, they stopped trusting God. And the next thing you know, they stopped obeying God. It all started with that temptation. Those words, those seeds of doubt and mistrust that were planted about God and who He is and whether or not His way is the best way. The children of Israel are a wonderful example to us, well, an unfortunate example to us, of men and women who knew God and time and time and time again, even though seeing great demonstrations of God's power and His commitment to them, time and time again, they were faced with temptation, and often they failed. Temptation is not something new. It's not something that has come with what you might see as the decadence of America in 2003. Temptation has been around for a long time. And 1 Corinthians 10 says that the example, that what happened with the Jews is to be an example to us. Why? So that we won't crave the same evil things that they craved. You know, we don't have to learn the hard way. We're supposed to learn from them. You know why? We are not made out of different stuff. We are not in a different situation. We share that in common, all the way back to the garden. We share that in common. We are made of the same stuff. We find ourselves in the same situation, and that is battling temptation. Look at what it says in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 10. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. Temptation, that word appears real quickly in this verse. No temptation. What are we talking about when we say temptation? It's not just that urge or desire to do something, to participate in something that you know is wrong. I mean, yes, we are tempted to do wrong things, but when the word temptation appears here, it's broader than that. I mean, temptation is basically not believing God, not trusting God. You know, it can happen and often happens when we're in dark trials in our lives, a time of pain or hurt or loss, a time where God maybe seems distant or I'm confused and I can't see how this could possibly be right or best. Maybe it feels like God has His back turned in this situation, or things are in chaos. Those trials very easily become platforms for temptation. What temptation? To run out the door and tell a lie or to commit some sin? Well, maybe eventually, but the temptation at that point is to disbelieve God, to distrust God. I mean, temptation, the broad concept of temptation is not believing God. And it results in all kinds of things that we call sin. No temptation has overtaken you. What does overtaken mean? It sounds like, you know, you read that, or taken you. It sounds like you've already fallen. You know, you've already been defeated by the temptation. No, that's not what the verse is saying. It's the idea of seized you. No temptation has grabbed hold of you, has seized you. No temptation has, yes, it's going to throw itself right in front of your face. Yes. It hasn't defeated you yet, but it's taken hold of you. It's trying to get you. No temptation has taken you or overtaken you, except the kind that is common to man. That's normal. That's life. Temptation is a part of life. That's what the verse is saying. It's common. It's common to every man and every woman. Temptation is expected. It's ordinary. Frustrating? Yes. Difficult? Absolutely. Surprising? No. Temptation is not surprising. It's common. It's a part of life. You know, walking is a part of life. If I get up today and fail to put shoes on, I'm just being stupid. Because I'm going to have to go places and do things today that are going to require me to use my feet, and it's going to be pretty painful if I don't have shoes on. Well, temptation is a part of life. I mean, we have got to understand that part of this verse, that temptation is common to man. Just because it's commonplace doesn't make it any easier. I'm not saying that. But it is expected. It's normal. And we've got to see that. And I think that understanding what this verse is saying, that everybody is in the battle with temptation, I do think that in some way that understanding is helpful to us. First of all, it's good for me to know that temptation is common and that everybody's battling it when I'm feeling very proud and justified in my sin. You know? When I'm looking at my situation and I feel sure that who I am and what I have been through makes what I'm doing acceptable and understandable. I need the truth that my temptation is not unique. I'm not privileged. I'm not in a special situation. Temptation is common. Everybody faces it. All temptation is normal. And I am not in the middle of something that others have not faced. When I make excuses for myself because I think that my situation is special, then I'm just devising a web of deceit that is only going to take me to further heartache and misery. No one is exempt from temptation. Any one of us could fall flat on our face as easily as anyone else. This passage in 1 Corinthians says, take heed if you think you stand, or you're going to fall. When I'm proud and feeling justified in my sin, I need loudly in my ear, temptation is common. You're not special when it comes to temptation. I also need to remember that temptation is common to everybody. When I really desire to honor God, but I'm at a point of being weak and vulnerable in my Christian walk, it's important for me to know that I'm not alone. There are other people that have faced the very temptation that I'm facing. Do you know there most probably is someone else in this church that is facing your temptation today? It's no accident that people who've been through hard times and God brings them through it come to us and say, if there's ever anybody else who goes through this, I'd be happy to talk with them. It's no accident that when you're going through a difficulty and you want somebody to pour your heart out to, that one of the first questions you might ask would be, do you know anybody else that's ever faced this? It somehow is helpful to us to know and understand that temptation is common. And there are other people who are battling what I'm battling. I'm not alone. Even though those other people may not know what I'm battling, I'm not alone. Listen, temptation is ordinary. Do you believe that? Temptation is ordinary. So what does that mean? That means you are not bad or you are not evil because you are facing the temptations that you are facing. They're ordinary. They're common. And you are not of any less value because you struggle with things that are embarrassing to you. Things that make you sick. So does everybody else. You can look around in this room and you can know that every single person in here is battling temptation. And if they say they're not, they're lying. Deceived. And unfortunately, sometimes that's how we feel when we come to church. Why? Church should not feel like a place where everybody's got their perfect little act together. That's a lie. It's not encouraging. The Bible says that temptation is common to man. Let's be honest about that with each other. Temptation is common to man. We need to understand that. A while back, somebody that was pretty new to North Hill said to Janice, "You know, one thing I really like about this church is that I don't hear anybody gossiping about anybody else. It's so refreshing. I just haven't heard anybody talking about anybody else." Janice was kind of caught off guard by that at first, and then she thought about it, and she said, "Well, you know, I guess we just kind of put things on the table at North Hills. I mean, if somebody said to me, 'Well, did you know, or did you hear about,' we'd probably just be able to say, 'Well, yeah, he shared that in shepherding group,' or, 'Yeah, she talked about that in an open service.' You know, you don't have to gossip when you're being honest with each other about the fact that we all live in the reality of this common temptation. It's awful. It's torturous sometimes. And because we all share in it, we can help each other stand against it. The Bible says, 'Confess your faults one to another and pray for each other so that you can be strengthened.' Temptation is not fair in its attack. It's sometimes relentless, sometimes miserable, but it is always a possibility. Always a possibility. Nobody gets a free pass. It's a normal part of life, and we have got to take it seriously, just like the example of the Israelites proves. Now, the reality of temptation, which is very important to understand, is not the whole picture. Look at what comes next. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful. God is faithful. That's the truth that those of us, men and women, in the battle of temptation need to understand. God is faithful. The Bible proclaims over and over and over the truth of God's faithfulness. God's people have been singing and shouting and praying and recording that for many, many years. Listen, I just want to read a few examples to you from the Scriptures. Proclaim the name of the Lord and ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are just. He is a God of faithfulness. The word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. Got that? All of His work is done in faithfulness. He knows no other way to do it. Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens, and Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Your name, O Most High, to declare Your loving kindness in the morning and Your faithfulness by night. Morning, night. In other words, just, this is so great, we should never stop proclaiming it. 24/7. God is faithful. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness is to all generations. Your faithfulness, O God, continues throughout all generations. You have spoken Your words in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. The Lord's loving kindnesses never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. God is a faithful God. The question is, what does His faithfulness have to do with our temptation? God has always been and always will be a faithful God. Everything He does in faithfulness. His faithfulness surrounds Him, the Bible says. I love that concept. You get anywhere near God and you're going to be swallowed up in His faithfulness. because it surrounds him. He is a faithful God, and we are people who are living in the midst of temptation. What do those two things have to do with each other? That's the point of 1 Corinthians 10:13. He describes his faithfulness during our times of temptation in this way. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. God is faithful. That meets us at our time of temptation, first of all, in this way. God says that he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. You are not going to have more temptation than you are able to bear. That is a promise. I think of it, I love that imagery in Job where God says, he's describing his power, and he says, look, I'm the one who tells the waves you can go this far and no more. Why don't the waves cover every bit of land on the planet? Because God says you're going to stop here. You're not going to go any further. If God can do it with the waves, he can do it with temptation and say, you're not going any further. That's too much for him, or that's too much for her. God is the one that draws the line. And so if I'm ever having thoughts in my mind like this, this is too much for me. I can't handle this. What is that? That's a lie. Either God's a lie, or those thoughts are a lie, because they can't both be true. I'll say God's the one telling the truth. And it's a lie for me to think, this is too much, I can't handle it. Now, this is not God's way of giving us a ticket to go place ourselves in blatant temptation, areas where we know we're weak, because we say, well, God promises he'll never let it be too much. No, that is dangerous presumption. That is foolishness. But for those children of God who are striving every day to live in purity and holiness before him, to reflect his heart and how they live, you know what God says? You've got this promise. It will never be more than you can handle. It will never be too much. And sometimes, when it feels like too much, the only thing we can say is, God, it feels like too much. I don't know how I'm going to do this. This seems too great for me. But I know it's not, because you are faithful. God is faithful, even in my weakest moments. God is faithful. And I guess I think of it this way. I don't think that, like, at the date of my birth, God drew this temptation box around me and said, this is how much he can handle. You know? I think it's probably different every day. For me, and you're no different than me, it's probably different every hour. You know, it's a full-time babysitting job. And God has committed himself to that. Sometimes I feel like temptation hits me when I'm weakest. Have you ever felt that way? You're like, where did this come from? You know, I'm weak and I'm vulnerable right now. I don't need this. Why didn't that happen last week? I think I would have been strong enough to handle it. Why is it coming now? You know what? It's not too much for me at my time of weakness. When I'm weak, if I can just recognize that I'm weak before I throw myself into sin, if I can just recognize that I'm weak, it will direct my thoughts to the faithfulness of my God. And I depend on him at that moment and say, you have promised that this is not too much. And I believe you. He also says, with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape. He describes his faithfulness by saying that we are never locked in with no way out. Never. Never. Enduring the temptation without falling is always a possibility because God is faithfully providing an escape route in every potential sin situation in our lives. No, you are never stranded with no options. Never. I believe that when we're focused on the faithfulness of our God, we're looking for the way out. You know, we're trying to find that escape route. And we will. Now, I feel like I have to say this. Our faithful God has not promised that he will remove the temptation. Never. There is nowhere in the Bible where God says he will take away from his precious children the reality of temptation in their lives. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that God is going to make your heart so that temptation doesn't touch you anymore. I've talked to a lot of frustrated Christians who feel like they're at the end of their rope, and they say, I've been begging God for years to take this away, to change this desire in me, and it hasn't happened. And some of them even go to the extreme conclusion of saying, and because of that, I've just decided that God must want me this way. He must have made me this way. So I'm just going to live it. You know what? Temptation is common. Why do we think that it's going to disappear on this earth? It's expected. And it is just crazy, wrong thinking on our part to try to charge God that my heart is tempted. Of course my heart is tempted. Of course your heart is tempted. And God has made no promise that that part of the equation is going to change on this earth. But what he has promised is that he will be faithful to you in every single instance of temptation. You will never be alone in that temptation. Before it even hits you, God has drawn the line as to how far it can go. And then when it does hit you, he's got the door of escape already planned. And it's not like some mystery maze, you know. It's there. Our temptations become opportunities for us to remember God's faithfulness and rely on that. You know, I long for the day, like Titus was singing about, you know, when we're going to be free from this. You know, right now, our world, our culture, our own hearts are all pushing temptation on us, but it's not going to always be that way. It's not going to always be that way. There will be a day when sin won't touch us anymore. I can't wait for that. Sin will be defeated once and for all, but you know what? It hasn't happened yet. But the thing is, what can happen right now is that sin can be defeated case by case. That's the provision of God. One day, forever, no more, it will never touch me. For now, it can touch me, but case by case, I can have victory. It's the same God. The same faithful God. It's the same victory. It's just a lot more exhausting where we live right now. And, I could go like another 30 minutes. This is just what I want to say about this faithfulness of God thing. Look, when you hear God say that he is faithful, you have got to think of that in the context of a relationship. If I say to you, if I say, my wife is faithful to me, what do I mean by that? Do I mean that in general, Janice is a dependable person, and if she says something, she'll carry out her word? Well, that's probably a part of what I mean. But when I say my wife is faithful to me, I mean she's true to me. She is committed to me. She wouldn't betray me. She has promised herself to me. She is faithful. Does that make sense, that concept? Okay, when God says that he is faithful to us, it is not just that he is a faithful God who does things in his own faithfulness. This is a part of his character. Yes, all of that is gloriously true. But when he says to you that he's faithful to you in your time of temptation, that is right in the context of his relationship with you. He is committed to you. He knows you. He called you out by name. He pursued you and made you his child. Now, he is not going to betray you. He's not going to lie to you. He has committed himself to you. He is devoted to you. That's what we're looking at when we say, yes, here's all this awful temptation, and it's common to man. But God is faithful. That's close. That is personal. That is very specific. God is faithful. And in your life, God is faithful in every moment of temptation. He is standing there, drawing the line so that it doesn't go too far, opening the door so that you have a way out. Do you believe that? That's God. I mean, that is His faithfulness to us. That is way more than we deserve. Way more. But that's His faithfulness to us. And if I had time, I'd tell you about Joseph in the Old Testament. You know? Classic case study in being a victim. Then classic case study in being a self-made man. You know, because he gets sold into slavery, makes it up to the top. And then he's got his boss's wife throwing herself at him day after day after day. No doubt many men and women would say that is too much to bear. I don't care how you look at it. That had to be incredibly difficult for Joseph. What was Joseph thinking about? His faithful God. He had been through a lot of pain and a lot of hurt, and he had tasted God's faithfulness to him year after year after year. And he gets this temptation thrown right in his face, and he doesn't say, look at all I've been through. I am a weak man. God, you know the issues of my heart. I just can't take this. He says, to her face, he says, I cannot do this thing and sin against my God. He was thinking about God. When Joseph ran away from Potiphar's wife, all he was doing was returning his own devotion to the God who had been devoted to him. And it cost him something. Don't think that if you just say no to temptation, that everything will work out rosy. It didn't in Joseph's case. But that's our privilege this week. We know we're going to be faced with temptation. Our privilege this week is to be locked in on the faithfulness of our God so that He is the one we're thinking about. Just like there are things this week I wouldn't dream of doing because of how they would hurt or adversely affect my wife or my kids, same with my relationship with God. God, how could I do that to you? That's the call of God being faithful, is for us to turn our hearts to Him in faithfulness, back to Him in every instance of temptation. Let's bow our heads. I know there's a clock on everybody's arm, I know. But I just want to say that I am sure that there have to be some of us here who right now need to run into the arms of our faithful God. We need to drop, like we would drop a time bomb, the excuses and the justifications and the playing around with sin, and recognize temptation to be the serious thing that it is, and run into the arms of our faithful God. He has been faithful. That has not ever been the problem. And He continues to be faithful. He has His faithful arms open to you right now. And I just want to give you the opportunity right now to run into His arms. I'm going to ask you to stand as we close in prayer. And I hope that your standing is more than just a shift in your posture, but that you're offering yourself to God. God, you are faithful. Thank you for demonstrating your faithfulness in our lives. Thank you for the promise that even right now, whatever is waiting to seize us, that you are there. Help us to live in this sin-cursed world with hearts that are surrounded by the promise of your faithfulness. You are way more than we deserve, God. We bless you and we praise you because you are a faithful God. Everything you do is in faithfulness, but this morning we're praising you that you are faithful to us. We need that. You know we need that. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.